My name is Brian Kinsey, and I'm the pastor of First Pentecostal Church in Pensacola. I'm delighted that you're listening to this message, and I hope it blesses your life. If you'd like to submit a prayer request, or if you're interested in a personal Bible study, you can call us at 850-477-1100, or send us an email at firstpent@firstpent.org. We hope you enjoy this message.
And so if you have your Bibles or your Samsungs or your iPhones or whatever you use to read scripture, they'll have it on the screen for you. Those of you that are too lazy to push buttons, bless your heart. I know it's Memorial Day weekend. It's a vacation weekend, and I don't want to stress you out by asking you to turn in your Bible to something that might overwhelm you. Luke chapter 11 and verse 14. Now, we talked about this morning concerning these concepts that can rule your spirit. The Bible has a word for them. It calls them strongholds. That's what a stronghold is. It's an idea that's gripped you, that you have made greater than God. The Bible says every thought, every exalting itself against the knowledge of God. That's what a concept or a stronghold is. It's a thought that you've exalted above God. And they have to be torn down. And we need to go into a season of spiritual warfare this summer, and I feel so strongly that God is going to help us, give us understanding to tear those concepts down and make Jesus the preeminent thought in our hearts and minds, that he rules over all. His truth, his name is so precious, church. I said, his name is so precious. There is nothing as precious as the name of Jesus. And so Luke 11 and 14, and he was casting out a devil, and it was dumb. Every devil I've known is a dumb devil. He couldn't live for God when there wasn't a devil. And Lucifer became Satan as we know him, and then drew out a third of the angels with him. They were cast out. And it came to pass when the devil was gone out, the dumb spake, and the people wondered. When this enemy turns loose of you, you're going to be able to speak freely. Your silence is over. You'll be able to praise the Lord. You'll be able to support people, encourage people, bless people. You'll be able to lift people, everyone around you, if we can just get you loose from this dumb devil. Hallelujah. But some of them said, he casteth out devils through Beelzebub, the chief of the devils, and others tempting him sought of him a sign from heaven, and he, knowing their thoughts, said unto them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and a house divided against a house falleth. If Satan also be divided against himself, how shall his kingdom stand? Because you say that I cast out devils through Beelzebub, and if I by Beelzebub cast out devils, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore shall they be your judges. But if I with the finger of God cast out devils, no doubt the kingdom of God has come upon you. And here's his whole premise of how to do this. This is what he shares with every one of us, how to do this. Seems like it's an impossible task. But when a strong man armed keepeth his palace, his goods are in peace. But you need a stronger man than he. If he comes upon him, overcomes him, takes from him his armor wherein he trusted, and divides the spoil. Now, that is where we are at. And I want to arm you with the power and the understanding of being able to take any concept that would exalt itself above God and tear it down in Jesus' name and put Jesus where he belongs, back in your life, triumphant over everything. He always causeth us to triumph, and he's going to cause First Pentecostal Church to triumph. And I speak it right now. He's going to cause you to triumph, and you're not going to be defeated. You are going to be victorious Does anybody want to take a stand and say, here I stand, enemy. In the name of Jesus, I see revival. I see growth. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Anytime you desire to advance in the kingdom, and many of you are experiencing adversity right now because you want the kingdom to advance. As long as you're satisfied with the status quo, the devil doesn't really care about you being in church. As long as you're happy with everything being as it has always been, because you're no threat to his kingdom. But when you, as a saint of God, recognize that Satan has claimed territory that does not belong to him, and you understand you have authority to do something about it, then you are a threat to his kingdom. And that's the reason why he tries to shut you up. That's the reason why he puts one trial on you after another. And that's why he just turns up the pressure. Anybody ever had the enemy turn up the fire just a little bit to try to put pressure on you? What is he doing? He wants to silence your voice. He doesn't want you to take a stand. He doesn't want you to take authority over those concepts that keep whispering into your ear, telling you that you're never going to make it out of this. The devil is a liar. I say Pensacola belongs to the apostolics. I say that the lost souls around us belong to the First Pentecostal Church and to the apostolic, to the one God, Jesus name people, and I take my stand. And it's going to happen. So if you're the one that takes a stand, then you're going to suffer the pain of battle. He's going to come after you. He'll send people after you. If he can get somebody around you that he can use because they're ignorant and do not know how these concepts work, that he will provoke them to come against you for no reason at all and say, I ain't did nothing. And then they just own you and just biting on you and you don't even know why. I'll tell you why. You took a stand and the enemy's upset about it. And you're speaking blessing and you're advancing the kingdom with your voice and your words. I mean, he ain't, you know, that's just the way he does. But yet, if you will suffer the pain of battle with me, if you will go into combat with me, I believe that God has assured us from the scripture, we are not only going to win the victory, we're going to divide the spoil. You gain something in this warfare that you don't gain any other place. That's the reason why when I come to church, I don't come to listen to the singing. I don't come just to see you. I don't come just to shake somebody's hand. I don't come just to fulfill my task and duty as the pastor and preacher. That's not the reason I come to church. I come to church to do battle against the enemy. Because I am all about advancing your life and your walk with God, your children. If there's a backslider in the house, I might as well tell you right now, I am after your hide. If there is one sinner that's not baptized in Jesus' name, we got water in that baptistry and we want you now. If there's one discouraged, defeated saint in this house, I am going to go and pick you up and lift you above your trial and get you across the finish line, because that's what this is about. Two men were standing on the dikes of the city of New Orleans. Hurricane hit, waters were rising, floods were coming, and one of them said to the other, said, if you had the strength and the money, what would you do to save New Orleans? He said, well, I'd build these dikes higher and stronger to where no floodwaters could threaten them. And the other man said, I would not do that. He said, I would put my arms underneath the city and I would lift it to a higher level to where it could never be threatened again. And that's exactly what we want you to do. That's what spiritual warfare is. Instead of putting somebody down to make yourself look better, Oh, I'm sorry. Put your arms up underneath them and lift them to a higher level. This scripture reveals to us the victory that Jesus, the stronger man, has won over the strong man, Satan. Satan's been knocked down like lightning and he can't get up. The most demonic characteristic you can display outside of unforgiveness is the spirit to quit. But when you give up and refuse to get up, that's what the devil's done and that's what he wants you to do. I'm going to get knocked down. If you come against the enemy or you take a stand for truth or for righteousness, the devil will put pressure on you. That is true. But as long as I can get back up one more time, then I get knocked down. He cannot win. I know you're going to get knocked down. I know you're going to get the wind knocked out of your sails. You're going to claim something and not get it. You're going to speak something and not receive it. But if you keep standing and if you keep believing that God has your best interest at heart and God has your back. I'm going to say that again. God has your back. He is not going to let you down. He is not going to let this church down. We are going to win the victory. And I believe we are going to wage a successful war against the enemy. I believe that you have the power to tear down every concept. I believe you have the power to tear down every thought that would hinder you, that would anger you, that would upset you, that would keep you from your purpose and your destiny. Woo! Hallelujah! Jesus says, I know the plans that I have for you, plans for peace and for good and not for evil. God does have a plan for us. And guess what? Every believer has the privilege to do this. Every believer has the privilege to rise up and wage this successful war. It's not just for the ministry. It's not just for the people on the platform. It's for those in the balcony. We must use that spoken word in faith to accomplish this task. Jesus gave us this authority in Matthew 18 and 18. Verily I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever ye shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. This same principle is found in the Old Testament in Psalm 149 and 9. Always like to find those scriptures that are really married together. For he says in Psalms 149 and 9 that we have permission to execute upon the kings and the princes of the earth the judgment written. This honor have all his saints. Praise ye the Lord. John, I don't know where they're shipping you off to. Where are you going to Hawaii after you go to San Diego, aren't you? I'm telling you right now, you've got the honor to be able to go to Hawaii, San Diego, and take that city and whatever else God wants you to do in Jesus' name. Praise ye the Lord. Austin, God is with you in Indiana, Ohio, Michigan, or wherever you might go. And if you take a stand for Jesus, there is no devil in hell that can stop you. This badge of honor is every saint's badge of honor. I can't execute any judgment that's not written. But if I know what's written in the book, I can execute it upon the enemy. And I see Satan cast down like lightning. And it don't take long for him to fall. If you can take a stand, it won't take long if God just flicks his finger. He's going to be cast down. If you would just take a stand in the name of Jesus, if you could say, I'm going to praise the Lord because God has given us the honor to be able to execute judgment upon the enemy. I come against the devil that's messing with our young people and their minds. And I'm going to tell you something else I'm going to bind. I'm going to bind all of their friendships outside of this church that are speaking poison and nonsense into their lives, that are twisting them against the things of God and the Word of God. I come against it in the name of Jesus. I could tell them, watch your friends all you want to, but they'll just go after them anyway. But in the name of Jesus, I bind their voices. I bind their whispers in the name of Jesus. I say, speak truth into their life. Speak peace into their life. And here's one of those little concepts that people get. Oh, I've got a relationship with Jesus Christ. I don't have to go to church in order to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. And that's because they feel something from God. They feel something. And because they feel something, they make that feeling God. Well, it doesn't make any difference whether you say you have a relationship with God. And I'm not saying that you do not. But I'm just simply saying it's not according to His Word. I want to say that again. It's not according to His Word. There's people that baptize in the titles Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. They are very sincere people. I love them dearly, but they do not do it according to the Word. That's the only problem I have with that. It's just not the way the apostles baptized. That's it. It's not against them. I love them. I want them to be saved. But the truth of the matter is, it is not. It's historically proven beyond the shadow of a doubt that the early church only baptized people in the name of Jesus. That's exactly why this church baptizes people in Jesus' name. We are executing the judgment that has been written. You know why we come to church? Because the Bible says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. When you see these things come to pass, in other words, let me just put that in simple English because y'all did not understand that scripture. Go to church, outfit. Amen. The reason why spiritual warfare does not work for some people is because it has to be on mission. It doesn't just work for you. It's like the anointing oil. You can't use it on yourself. If you try to use spiritual warfare for yourself against somebody else who is flesh and blood, that's witchcraft. That's the reason why it doesn't work. The reason why people don't do it is because it doesn't work. Because I am not here to get my will across. It has nothing to do with me, and it has nothing to do with you. It is principalities and powers that doesn't want to see the kingdom of God advance. Why? Because God knows how many people He wants to bring into the church and fill with the Holy Ghost and get baptized in Jesus' name. And He's got them lined up, I feel, in the Holy Ghost right now, that if somebody would rise up and say, I'm going to take a stand for what I know God wants to do in this hour, the devil will do everything he can to take you down. But we got to tear down these concepts. Spiritual warfare only works in connection with God's purpose and His will alone. Now, you noticed in the text that whenever the stronger man came and bound the strong man, that he spoiled the house, but he did this first. He took his armor away. And I really like that because the devil has no defense. And he has no offense. All he can do is deceive you. The power of Satan is not that he has any power, is that he has the power of deception. I know the devil can defeat those who refuse to exercise their authority. I mean, he can do that. But if you can understand that you have the authority to stand up to him. You say, well, it just feels like the devil's been fighting us. Well, when has the devil ever not fought us? Now, if my attitude gets out of whack, see, this is what you got to worry about. This is what you got to be concerned about. If your attitude gets out of whack, that attitude is like a voice that calls for spirits to come to you. See, if I'm mad at Jim, or I'm mad at Brother Sloan, or I'm mad at somebody, that anger right there, for whatever reason it is, maybe Brother Sloan didn't shake my hand, or he didn't smile at me the other day, or I don't know what he did. He was just walked past me. I think he was thinking about his wife was calling him probably, and said, I'd rather be in trouble with him than with her. Praise. And that didn't even happen, Brother Sloan, because, you know, sometimes we just imagine things. And especially if it's your imagination that's put that attitude in you, it's even a louder voice. And spirits are called from hell to come and inhabit your life. They come camping at the door, waiting for you to open it to them so that they can use you for their purpose. That's the reason why, Brother Welch, you heard him say it 1,000 times. Watch your attitude. Why? Why did he say that? Because of what I'm preaching right now. Because if your attitude gets out of whack, the devil can use you for his purpose. But when you, that's the reason why, when you start praising him and you start speaking blessing, as you know, hitting the ball, and then the ball hits you and you say, praise the Lord. And then you can use that to speak to Ed, and Ed notices, I don't want to be what you are, but he just says, man, I enjoy being around you, but I don't want all of that praise the Lord stuff. I got 1 hour a week, and that's all I'm giving Jesus, and I'm going to party the rest of the week. Is that true? That's the party animal right there. Okay? I get it, but God got a hold of his heart. And if you could understand that you've got the Holy Ghost, you say, but I've got the Holy Ghost. I've been baptized in Jesus' name. But that's not going to help you if your concepts have limited what the Holy Ghost can do in your heart. And if your attitude is bad, it shuts it down. It doesn't release it. And the Holy Ghost cannot help you if you've got the wrong spirit or the wrong attitude. So what you've got to do is correct it, get in alignment with God's purpose. The best way to do that is to repent and say, God, I messed up. I want to slap everybody in this house. And it is not the will of God. And I know it. And again, instead of slapping anybody, why don't you just come up here and start praising the Lord? And some of you know I've got, some of you know I'm preaching to you right now. You're on your phone, you're trying to text, you're trying to, oh Lord, I cannot listen to this right now because I know I am, the enemy is about to lose half of his soldiers in this place right now in the name of Jesus. Because I just shine the light on him. All I got to do is expose him. And when he's exposed, he's got to leave. And so when his covering's been removed, his armor's been removed, and it's been given to the church. In Ezekiel 28:13, there were 10 stones that covered Lucifer. 10 beautiful, precious stones. The Bible says he walked in the midst of the stones of the fire. Notice the jewels in the breastplate of righteousness, which was upon the high priest as he ministered before the Lord. The same 10 stones are in that breastplate, except there were 2 more. As a matter of fact, if you go to Revelation 21 through 21, you'll see those same stones in the foundation of the New Jerusalem. Satan lost them because they were removed. His armor was taken from him, and they were given to the church. He's been defeated, and he lost it. Do you know why Satan hated Adam and Eve? It's because when he saw them in the garden fellowshipping with God, he knew he had been replaced. Your replacement, brother, has been discovered, and you can't get yours back. Woo! But there were two stones that God gave to the church that Satan didn't have in the beginning, or Lucifer didn't have in the beginning. It was the agate and the amethyst. The word agate means tongues of fire. Guess what that is? If you need to know the answer to that, then you're going to have to pay. You don't know the answer to that, you're going to have to pay double tithes for the next month. Tongues of fire. What is that? Acts 2. Woo! And the Holy Ghost came on them. And they spake with tongues. Now, the Bible says that cloven tongues like as a fire sat upon each of them. The devil doesn't have the Holy Ghost, nor can he get it. You've got something the angels have never had. As a matter of fact, they like to look into it. I said they would like to look into it, but they can't, because it doesn't belong to them. It belongs to you. You have this right, these tongues of fire. The amethyst means to bind firmly to a dream. The amethyst is to a dream. That means that God has a special future for you. The devil has no future. But I don't care how many times you stumble, if I can get you back up, God still has a dream for you and he still has a plan. No matter how many times you get messed up, you get dry, you get tired, you get cold, just come on back to the fire and let the fire burn on you again. The devil has no future and he has no power over you. The devil has no authority over this church. He has no authority over this pulpit, and he has no authority over you. I'm talking about you all the way in the back, Sister Linda. I'm talking about you all the way in the back, Abe. I'm talking about you all the way up, LC and LTD and FBI up there. I'm telling you right now, every one of you have the honor. I said every one of you have the honor. Gene all the way back, Lisa all the way back there. If you'll stand up, the devil's got to go. If you'll speak in the name of Jesus, sickness and disease. He doesn't have a future, but even when we make mistakes, we're still covered with the armor. Amen. Thank God. We don't have to be under the curse any longer. Now, you have the Holy Ghost, and I know that the word, and when you receive the Holy Ghost, you receive power. And the word power is, some say it's dunamis, which they say is dynamite, and it does and can mean dynamite, but it also means dynamo. Now, dynamite is explosive power. It hits and explodes, and then it dissipates. But dynamo is a perpetual creation and generation of power. And so I really believe that you have both, actually. And I believe that dunamis, which is the power that you receive after that the Holy Ghost comes upon you, is dynamite. There are strongholds that you just need to blow them up. Come on, you need some Holy Ghost C4. And about right before they blow it, they say, fire in the hole. And I just ought to think somebody ought to get up and say, fire in the church, hallelujah, and blow every stronghold up. We need to get rid of every stubborn spirit, every proud spirit. We need to blow it up in the Holy Ghost. And then we need to create a generator, a dynamo of power. Come on, somebody needs to plug it in to where we got power tomorrow and the next week. You got it every day. I think you ought to be able to rise up and praise him. It's perpetual. I just want to choose four of the stones that he had that he lost that we've received. The first is the sardine stone. I'm just going to choose four of them and just run through them because I just thought it was powerful stuff. The sardine stone is a blood red ruby. And of course, we have the blood. And the blood was shed for us. And if you've been washed in the blood of the Lamb, you are covered. Even the angels who desire to look into this can't. Even good angels, the bad angels certainly can't look into it, but the good angels, they even have to use the golden tongs themselves to take coals from the altar to touch the lips of Isaiah. I'm so glad I have the blood. Aren't you glad that you're covered? Aren't you glad? And you know what? The good thing is now, Brother Roy, Brother Ed, it's good that I can claim to have the blood and that God covers me. But when I can see you covered and Dennis covered. See, if you want the covering, but you deny it to someone else with an unforgiving spirit or an attitude towards them, then you're an agent of the enemy. You've got darkness in your heart. There's no light in you. Because you're denying. Our general superintendent, Brother Daniel, Brother David Bernard, declared, and he said it this way. He said, if you cannot appreciate and value the body of Christ and build the kingdom of God by building other people, you have missed the boat in the reason why we're in the church in the first place. And I believe that with all of my heart. You know what? You're in the body of Christ. Every one of you are flawed. I'm not trying to hurt your feelings. You already know you're flawed. But I'm just telling you, as your pastor, you're flawed. Amen. You're full of mistakes. Ain't none of you perfect. Some of you've got chips on your shoulder and your chips have chips. And those chips have great grandchildren. You got so many of them. It's going to take dynamite to blow them all out of your life. But thank God, I still love you and you're covered in the blood. You say, but I'm not worthy. There ain't nobody in this place worthy. Brother Kinsey, you're not worthy. I'm not worthy. But I've been covered by the blood. If you don't factor in the blood, there ain't nobody gonna be blessed here tonight. But because of the blood. Because of the blood, I'm going to clap my hands and I'm going to love you and bless you. Even if you're cursing me under your breath right now, I'm still going to bless you. Why? Because there's power in the blood and there's room at the cross for you. And you can find this. The sapphire stone is a blue stone. It refers in Ezekiel 1:26 to the throne of God. Satan no longer has any boldness to be able to go before the throne of God and to make any request known. He is a prosecuting attorney. He accuses the brethren before the Lord, but he cannot petition God to deliver or to save. Jesus, the stronger man, now has given us access to the throne where we can come before his throne boldly that we might be able. Now, I know when you teach these sort of things, especially to Pentecostal people who have already got their crutches and their excuses of why they can't do anything for God and why they can't be this and they can't do that, and they've got it all wrapped up in a religious package that looks so beautifully, and they look at, and then when you go tear all of those excuses down, it's upsetting, because I promise you, you don't have to sit back and let the devil defeat you and beat you down. You say, but these feelings of unworthiness come all the way back from my childhood. They perhaps do. But I will tell you right now, there is no rejection in this planet. There is no rejection of family that my Jesus does not accept you in the beloved. Hallelujah. You've got access to the throne right now. There's nobody stopping you from touching the hem of his garment. You don't need a certain song or a certain person playing for you. If you need that, you're a Saul and have an evil spirit, and only David could get the evil spirit off of him. So you better watch that and say, oh, I can really feel the Spirit of God when so-and-so does such and such. Well, that's scripturally, you're not in good company. I don't care if they don't even know how to play. If they're praising Jesus with what they're doing, you ought to be able to get up out of wherever you are. If they can bang pots in other countries and have a move of the Holy Ghost, we ought to be able to do the same thing here. It just depends on how you look at it. Listen, if they can sing a cappella, amazing grace. Oh yeah, one of you got it. The rest of you are just lost. And I know we've developed a culture that's affecting Pentecostals, and we're so entertainment crazed now that we have to be entertained, and we think that's the Spirit of the Lord, but it is not the Spirit of the Lord. I want to be the best. I want to do the best. I give you the best that I can, and we give you the best that we've got. I give you the best messages that I possibly can preach, and I give you the best, but you don't need that to touch God. Jesus died on the cross. That has already been done. You need to stand up and say, press your way through the crowd. I don't care if the disciples are telling you to hush. You get them out of the way. Push them out of the way. I'm going. Why? Because Jesus gave us access to the throne of God. And guess what? This honor has all his saints. Woo! Hallelujah. Every last one of you's got it. Sharon, you got it. Eddie, you got it. John, you got it. Wilbur, you got it. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 The emerald is a green stone. It means to glisten or to shine. You'll find your rainbow round about the throne. It is a sign of the covenant that the storm has passed and has now ended. A covenant that removes the curse of the storm's effect. It may not keep the storm from coming, but he can stop the storm from destroying you. Amen. The jasper means to polish or to renew or to bring back the shine. You cannot be saved without a renewing in the Holy Ghost. The Bible says in Titus 3:5, it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. Satan no longer possesses the privileges that we now have, and you must be renewed. And therefore, you have got to reach out and minister in the Spirit unto him. I know that the Bible says that let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify the Father which is in heaven. And notice this, it is your light that is your testimony to other people. But your shine is the joy of the Holy Ghost in your heart. Let your light, you cannot defeat the enemy without a testimony. So I just want to ask you, what do you say about Jesus? Ashanti? What do you say about Jesus? He's all right is the answer. You're too young to know that song. Okay, I'm sorry. I picked on the wrong one. Ashanti, amen. What do you think about Jesus? All right, okay. I need the testimony. I need some light. I need a smile on that face. I need some joy. I called you out, girl. Come on. You need to do it. Amen. And that's what you've got to have. Where's your light? Where's your testimony? Mike, what do you think about Jesus?
Hallelujah.
Well, that works. That's not the song, but Mike's not a singer, is he? Amen. Annabella, what do you think about Jesus? All right, we've got the right words there, but you need some joy in it. You got to have some joy. You got to let the devil know. He may have thrown some storms at me. He may have thrown some storms at you, and you may have been hurt, and you may have been devastated by whatever happened, but I'm going to tell you right now, that don't kill your joy, and that don't steal your access, and that doesn't keep you from having what this book says you can have. You're a child of God, washed in the blood, baptized in his name, and filled with the Holy Ghost. I think you ought to stand up and say, the church is moving on. I say the church is moving on. Woo! The church is moving on, Roy. We're going to win this battle. We're going to fight. We're going to fight in the schools. We're going to fight in the Walmarts. We're going to fight at the mall. We're going to fight in racquetball. I mean, as long as you're not sinning, you don't have to change those activities. Just be a witness. Have a testimony. Let your light shine. Let some joy show. But if you always, you know, I'm just so messed up and I'm hurting and I don't. No, you got to be praising God. People are attracted to that kind of joy because they don't have it in their own life. They don't have all this peace. They don't have it. And they're attracted to it. That's the reason why people will call me from all over the world. And I mean, literally, they will say, I just want to hear you talk for 10 minutes and tell me it's going to be all right. Amen. It's the truth. And I said, man, I'm trying to think of what I need to say. And then I go back to that magnificent thought, that glorious concept that's lifted me above every storm in my life. It didn't stop the storm, but it sure has lifted me above it. Didn't stop the devastation, but it sure lifted me above it. And that's this magnificent Jesus. And you know what I do? I just do what I told y'all to do. I'll just rely on what I was reading that morning. And say, you know what I was reading? Don't even know what I'm going to say. I said, but this is what I was reading. And then I just start speaking what I was reading. And all of a sudden, the Holy Ghost will start illuminating that text. And I'll start speaking. And then the Holy Ghost starts ministering. And you say, why are you so positive all the time? You make me sick. And they're picking at me, but they knew they needed a word from the Lord to encourage their heart. Why? Because they don't, there's destruction everywhere, church. You realize you're tailor-made? Your victory is tailor-made to be a testimony as small or as great as whatever you might think it is. It's bigger than you think it is because Jesus did it in you. That's what I want to convince you of. Gee, it's bigger in you than you think it is. Woo! Not because it's you or you're great. It's because my Jesus is great. And the devil's defeated. And he said, now, the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. It's that shortly that gets me. Hadn't happened yet. But that's all right. Brother Nelson, I got my foot out. Just in anticipation for when I feel his neck under my foot. And there's been a few times, ain't be? Woo! Huh? Been a few times that I felt air out there. And I felt like I was gonna fall. But I knew that what the Bible says, now the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. Now, can I say that to you in the Holy Ghost and tell you right now that what you're going through, just put your foot out there. You don't have to lift it up high. I don't want you to trip and fall. Some of you look like you're a little bit gangly. No real. The older you get, the less balance you have. You kind of wobble. And I ain't smoking nothing or drinking nothing, I promise. Promise. Hadn't never done it and ain't gonna start now, so. But I'm just anticipating you're gonna win the victory. God's for you. God is for you. So who can be against you? Ashante, I've had to quote that scripture to myself a few times. Amen. Who can separate you from the love which is in Christ? Nothing can separate you. Ha! Nothing! Nothing. Did I say it right, darling? Nothing. Nothing. Brother Mick. Put your little shiny head over there. Nothing can separate me or you from the love which is in Christ Jesus. You've got victory. Put your foot out. Anticipate that the enemy is going to be put under your feet shortly. The Bible says they were in great expectation in the scripture in the New Testament when Jesus came through. You know what that word means in the Greek language? It means standing on your tiptoes. Ha! That's what you need to do. Some of you will be, you know, crying in the morning with your calves hurting, but get on your tiptoes right now. I'm just going to stand on my tiptoes and I'm going to rise up and I'm going to anticipate what God's going to do. I just can't wait to see it. I'm trying to get my eyes above the concepts that have limited. Woo! I see them coming. I see the backslider coming back, Sister Perkins. I see it. Woo! I'm anticipating it. I see it about to happen in the house. Backsliders are coming back. Restoration is going to happen in the name of Jesus. I know some of you fear your job's going to be taken from you. Different voices are speaking and bouncing around in the atmosphere, but I'm going to tell you right now, God's going to take care of you. God's got a better job waiting on you. You just go ahead and believe the Lord, because God is going to see you through. Get on your tiptoes and look above it and praise Him. Now, here's what I believe. I believe somebody in this place needs a miracle in your life. I want you to step out right now, and I want you to walk to the front. And I want our intercessors to come quickly. Our prayer warriors, get up here as fast as you can and get ready, because God is going to give you your miracle. If you need physical healing in your body, you need health in your spirit, you need to be able to take this kind of authority. Now, it's already started. The first thing that I want to pray for are those that are filled with anxiety and those that are filled with panic and fear. I want you to step out right now, and I want you to walk up here, and I want you to find somebody to pray with you in Jesus' name. Step out by faith right now, believing God. Get up here quickly. Get up here quickly. There are some of you that are needing healing in your physical body and in relationships. You need emotional and physical healing. I want you to step out. I want you to step out from where you're standing. I want you to walk to the front, because God wants to heal you emotionally and He wants to heal you physically. He wants to give you peace so that you can operate in authority. He wants to give you faith so that you can speak to the storm whenever it comes against you and say, I may not be able to stop you, but you are not going to hurt me and you will not drown me. I want you to step forward. I want you to claim your miracle. I want you to claim that victory. Step out by faith. Step out by faith.
We hope you enjoyed this message. Please reach out to us if you have any questions. We can be found at firstpent.org. That's firstpent.org. If you're ever in Pensacola, Florida, we hope you visit us. Be blessed in Jesus' name.